And in 2 Corinthians 8 and at verse 9, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything to a believer and to any who become a believer. He takes priority in their life. And it is the habit of Paul to teach the most straightforward and simple things that Christians do in a way they didn't used to do before they were Christians. It's Paul's method to teach from the great wonders of loving Christ how to do the simple things. And he says, let nothing, in another place in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's one thing. Second thing, don't every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, don't be selfish and only think about yourself, but think about the good of others. But all Paul's instruction about being lowly in our minds and not proud and not showing off and esteeming others more important and looking not for our own advantage, but only how we can help others, that is all grounded in the words that follow about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and so on. In other words, he says, it's because the Lord Jesus dealt like this with us. Because he wasn't proud, because he loved us, because he saved us, because he left heaven. For that reason, that we should not be selfish, that we should look to other people's advantage. He does the same again in Ephesians when he speaks of husbands loving their wives. This is in Ephesians chapter 5. But you see, he says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So the loving of our wives is to be a reflection of how we know within the church as a believer we have been loved by Christ. And we reflect that love. And for all that is there in human nature to love wives and love husbands, it can't be the same as what a Christian can achieve through Christ. And in this passage that we're looking at, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, Paul is talking about the simple matter of giving in the church, of giving for the benefit of the Lord's people. And he says, think about what Christ has given you and let your giving be in the same spirit, the same manner. So he always grounds ordinary behavior, which is different from before we were a Christian, in what Christ has done for the believer's soul. Well, now the particular example in 2 Corinthians 8 is the verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So the rich shouldn't fail to help the poor. And the poor, if able, may help the rich. But all of this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who was the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he was God and is God, and he was from everlasting to everlasting. There never was a time when he wasn't. And we read in the Bible his delights were with the sons of men. He loves mankind. He was from everlasting to everlasting and is. But he, along with the other two persons of the Trinity, created the world. He made the world. And for his pleasure, the world was made. Nothing was made without him. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is great, greatly eternal, greatly powerful to make, greatly wonderful to save. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that word grace means an undeserved gift. And the undeserved gift of our Lord Jesus Christ is that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Or in the text, for your sakes, Paul is talking to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ was rich. There never was a time till Calvary or till his life on earth when he left heaven. There never was a time till Calvary when he wasn't aware of the Father's blessed presence upon his life. He had everything that there was to have. The cattle on 1,000 hills were, if he were hungry, he wouldn't tell us. The Lord has all things. And you can put some of the things as you think of them. He was rich. He therefore knows what it is like to be rich. It's wonderful when you think of things that the Lord Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be a friend and to have a friend. But he also knows what it's like to be rich. And did he remain aloof because he was rich? Did he keep himself away from those who were poor? Did he have nothing to do with people who weren't of his caste or his class? The answer is no, he didn't. The Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He left heaven. He became human. He left the perfections of heaven and came to the pains and sorrows and imperfections of earth. As we saw this morning, he got weary. But on the cross, he endured consummate pain for us. He became poor for our sakes. Why did he leave heaven? Why did he take upon himself a human body, though perfect and without sin, yet capable of receiving hurt, capable of receiving pain, capable, because he was without sin, of making an atonement before God for all those who had sinned? He didn't hold himself aloof from a sinner. He didn't hold himself aloof from those who were inclined to sin. He didn't hold himself aloof from those whose perpetual thought was sin. He didn't hold himself aloof from those whose sin was of the worst sort according to other men's thinking. He became poor in order to bear the punishment in his own body for the sins that all those who believed in him were going to come in. Not those of his own time alone, not those of the previous times alone, but them also. Not only of those who come after, like ourselves, but of us also. He became poor by coming to Calvary. They dealt with him unfairly. We go very strong on things not being fair. They did unkind things to him without cause. He became poor. And so poor that he had no home except the hospitality he was ever given. And he finished his life naked upon a cross, and his clothes bartered for. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Perhaps the hardest thing before we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, before we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to understand that it was for our sakes that he became poor. The most common reaction of mankind is to say, I am good enough for heaven. When I get to heaven, I've had this on the door, I don't know how many times, I will just tell God all the things I've done. And I think to myself, wow, I wouldn't dare do that. But such is the view we have of our own condition that we don't see ourselves in any danger. And those preachers who preach that there is a danger are looked to be excessively harsh in their dealings. But what is the reality? The reality is that heaven is a perfect place. That God hates sin. He doesn't want it around him. And for future days, he will not have sin around him. So there's no way that any of us can go to heaven by nature. There's not a single way. Nobody can do enough to make himself approved so that he can go to heaven. It's not the number of things we do. Because even if we never did anything bad and always did numbers of things, there could be things like pride entering in concerning what we do. The Lord desires perfection. We can't give perfection. The Lord knows we can't give perfection. And so there is not a hope for any one of us unless he intervenes. And he has intervened by sending his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should be a perfect man, never having sinned, so that he could bear the punishment for that sin instead of us. He replaces us in the punishment room of God. God punished him on Calvary for all the sins of all those who would ever believe in him. And until we see that it was for our sakes, because there was no way we could do all our life long, putting everything together, those things that would please God, and that God intends to visit his wrath upon every sinner, there is no hope. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ, being fully God and fully man, has taken those sins and the punishment for those sins in his own body on Calvary. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. There's no better place to be than in heaven. No more sin, no more crying, no more toil, no more trouble, no more labor. If there is any labor, it's like there was in the Garden of Eden before. It was not a trouble, there were not thorns and thistles or anything. No more death. All these things that are part and parcels of our life, they make us poor because we're tied up with sin. We're tied up with fears of what's going to happen to us. We're tied up with the fears of death. We were poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. The future of everyone whose trust is in him is that he might be transformed. He might have a body that will never grow old and never cease to exist, and it will be perfect, able to receive perfect feelings, able to worship the Lord Jesus perfectly, able to do all things perfectly. We don't deserve any of these things. It's a free gift of God. But it was his poverty, his leaving heaven, his coming down to earth, his having nothing of his own except the clothes he walked in. These things, he became poor. We who think ourselves rich, a major trouble of our own day in many parts of the world, satisfied with what we've got. And the Lord foretells that in dealing with the people when they came out of Egypt, that they must always give thanks to God when things are going well with them. Yet we, who are sinners, and know that we're sinners, and there's no hope for us, and we can't break sin of ourselves, find that through his death, when he was brought to possessing nothing, brought to the cross, brought to death, it was to bear our sins, so that we who were in this condition might enter into the riches of heaven. Not only, of course, heaven. We begin to enter into the riches of friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is alive forevermore. And when we believe, then from that moment we experience the pleasure of his friendship, pleasure of his help, the presence of the preciousness of belonging to him, of his caring for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is a gospel for the exceeding poor. What else have they got to hope for in this life? It's a gospel for the exceeding rich, because they can't buy their way into heaven or buy their perfection. It is a gospel chosen by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus Christ should leave heaven, put on human nature, be brought down low, bear our sins, that we who were so poor might become rich. And Paul puts that wonderful diamond of doctrine in the middle of instructing people how they should give, and what they should think about their giving, always remembering that Christ gave himself to transform them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.